In preparation for this sermon today, I looked on the internet at a list of some of the top unanswered questions. And I thought I'd share a few of them with you. Question number one. How does a shepherd count his sheep without falling asleep? Why do people say, "Heads up," if really you should duck? Why do they call it 2% milk when it's actually 2% fat and 100% milk? Why are they called animal crackers when they're not even crackers, they're actually cookies? If it's 0 degrees outside and it's supposed to be twice as cold tomorrow, how cold is it going to be? Maybe Jay knows. Why do we say the alarm clock is going off when it actually came on? Why do they put a little tag that says "for indoor and outdoor use" on Christmas lights? Why does mineral water that has trickled through mountains for centuries have an expiration date of 12 months? Why is it that rain drops and snow falls? Why is the third hand on the watch called a second hand? If somebody vanished without a trace, how does anybody know they're missing? Why is an electrical outlet called an outlet when you plug things into it? Shouldn't it be called an inlet? Can obese people go skinny dipping? I really wondered whether I could put that one in here. You know that little black box that's indestructible and is on every airline? You ever wonder why they just don't make the whole airplane out of the same thing? Well, those are some questions. And perhaps you have questions. We have questions all the time. Why doesn't God answer my prayers? If I am walking close to God, why do I still have problems? I'm sure you've asked yourselves those questions. Recently, like this week, I saw something on Facebook. I'm not on there all the time, but I see things. And I was on Facebook, and I saw somebody say that, I'm going to reveal what it was about. I don't want to do that. Oh, well, I'm going to. I had somebody comment and say that they don't believe in God, but they're going to go to heaven anyway. Okay? That was a comment. Okay? Maybe you don't even know what it's about. Because people don't have an understanding of the questions. They don't understand Christian faith. It befuddles me to think that somebody doesn't believe in the existence of God, but is going to go to a place in the very end where God is. Like, how do you do that? So as I was preparing today about the question of the day, which is on your outline, which says, what is faith? It's a very fundamental question. People ask questions all the time. If you were to look in the Gospels, you would find that Jesus asked a lot of questions. If you're bored one day or have nothing else to do, go into the Gospels and start looking just for question marks. Don't read it. Well, you could if you wanted to, but just start looking just for question marks and see how many you find. You know, you'll find a lot. You know why? Because Jesus asked a lot of questions. Now, do you think he knew the answers? Absolutely, he knew the answers. But he asked a lot of questions to pique people's interest. He said things like, who do you say that I am? How much more value are you than birds? Do you believe that I am able to do this? Do you want to be healed? There's thousands upon thousands of questions that he asked. And although he knew the answers, he asked them to gain interest. Now, some of the things that we're going to ask ourselves in the next several weeks is, how can I overcome temptation? How do I have victory over worry? Why do Christians have so many problems? Earlier I mentioned, why don't my prayers get answered? Is there a sin that God cannot forgive? Is there really just only one way to God? How do I know that I have been forgiven? And then today, what is faith? Young and old alike enjoy swings. The other day I was looking down and I saw somebody, an adult in this congregation, I can't remember who it was, but they were on a swing set with a kid. And if I go to the park with grandchildren, they get on a swing and I get on a swing, because that's just what we do. All right, now Jay's thinking, whoa. But anyway, I want you to think about this. So somebody gave a story about when they were a child. And they said they went to the playground and their older sister was with them. And she was pushing her, and like she was just having a great time, and as high as she could go and as fast as she could go. And her sister got tired and went and sat down. And then one of the playground bullies came over and started pushing her again. And he didn't push her any faster, and he didn't push her any higher, but she was terrified. Why? The answer is, it had to do with the person that was doing the pushing. It had to do with the trust, if you will, that she had in her sister versus the trust that she had in the neighborhood bully. Our perspective in both good times and bad times is influenced by our faith. Now, we all have faith in some way. We deal with faith every day. Not only our faith when it comes to the Lord, but we deal with faith in a lot of things and trust. You go get gasoline. You're really trusting or believing by faith that you're getting gasoline and not water, correct? You don't go into the say, hey, are you sure there's really gas in that tank out there? You just believe it. There's a lot of things that we accept in that way. But what about faith when it comes to God? Now, our text today is a very long one, because I really couldn't figure out where I was going to stop reading, okay? And that is Hebrews chapter 11. If we're going to talk about faith, where else would we go? Hebrews chapter 11. I'm going to read the whole thing. Lucky for us, I'm not going to preach the whole thing, okay? So, it says, now faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. This is what the ancients were commended for. By faith, we understand that the universe was formed at God's command, so that what is seen was not made out of what was visible. By faith, Abel offered God a better sacrifice than Cain did. By faith, he was commended as a righteous man when God spoke well of his offerings. And by faith, he still speaks even though he is dead. By faith, Enoch was taken from this life so that he did not experience death. He could not be found because God had taken him away. For before he was taken, he was commended as one who pleased God. And without faith, it is impossible to please God because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him. By faith, Noah, when warned about things yet not seen, in holy fear built an ark to save his family. By faith, he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness that comes by faith. By faith, Abraham, when called to go to a place he would later receive as an inheritance, obeyed and went, even though he did not know where he was going. By faith, he made his home in the promised land like a stranger in a foreign country. He lived in tents, as did Isaac and Jacob, who were heirs with him of the same promise. For he was looking forward to the city with foundations, whose architect and builder is God. By faith, Abraham, even though he was past age and Sarah herself was barren, was enabled to become a father because he considered him faithful who had made the promise. And so from this one man, and he as good as dead, came descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky and as countless as the sand on the seashore. All these people were still living by faith when they died. They did not receive the things promised. They only saw them and welcomed them from a distance. And they admitted that they were aliens and strangers on earth. People who say such things show that they are looking for a country of their own. If they had been looking of the country they had left, they would have had the opportunity to return. Instead, they were longing for a better country, a heavenly one. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared a city for them. By faith, Abraham, when God tested him, offered Isaac as a sacrifice. He who had received the promises was about to sacrifice his one and only son, even though God had said to him, "It is through Isaac that your offspring will be reckoned." Abraham reasoned that God could raise the dead, and figuratively speaking, he did receive Isaac back from death. By faith, Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau in regard to their future. By faith, Jacob, when he was dying, blessed each of Joseph's sons and worshiped as he leaned on the top of his staff. By faith, Joseph, when his end was near, spoke about the Exodus and of the Israelites from Egypt and gave instructions about his bones. By faith, Moses' parents hid him for 3 months after he was born because they saw that he was no ordinary child, and they were not afraid of the king's edict. By faith, Moses, when he had grown up, refused to be known as the son of Pharaoh's daughter. He chose to be mistreated along with the people of God rather than enjoy the pleasures of sin for a short time. He regarded disgrace for the sake of Christ as a greater value than the treasures of Egypt, because he was looking ahead to his reward. By faith, he left Egypt, not fearing the king's anger. He persevered because he saw him who is invisible. By faith, he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of blood, so that the destroyer of the firstborn would not touch the firstborn of Israel. By faith, the people passed through the Red Sea as on dry ground, but when the Egyptians tried to do so, they were drowned. By faith, the walls of Jericho fell after the people had marched around them for 7 days. By faith, the prostitute Rahab, because she welcomed the spies, was not killed as those who were disobedient. And what more shall I say? I do not have time to tell about Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jephthah, David, Samuel, and the prophets, who through faith conquered kingdoms, administered justice, and gained what was promised, who shut the mouths of lions, quenched the fury of the flames, and escaped the edge of the sword, whose weakness was turned to strength, and who became powerful in battle and routed foreign armies. Women received back their dead, raised to life again. Others were tortured and refused to be released so that they might gain a better resurrection. Some faced jeers and flogging, while still others were chained and put in prison. They were stoned, they were sawed in two, they were put to death by the sword. They went about in sheepskins and goatskins, destitute, persecuted, and mistreated, The world was not worthy of them. They wandered in deserts and mountains and in caves and in holes and in the ground. These were all commended for their faith. Yet none of them received what had been promised. God had planned something better for us, so that only together with us would they be made perfect. Today, we answer the question, what is faith? And here within this chapter, there are some answers as to what faith is. So if you're following along on your outline, you'll find that the first response to the question, faith is belief in what is unseen. Right in the beginning of this text, it says, faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. That is a clear definition of faith. It is a clear response to the question, what is faith? And again, as I mentioned, we have faith. We have faith in a lot of things. Another example, when you're going down the street and the light is green, you have faith believing that the light is red in the crossing traffic, right? You do. You don't stop to say, is that really red over there for them? No, you just go through. And that's faith. That's belief or trust. And that is what belief and trust is when it comes to God. But it's in the unseen. We don't see God, but we can trust in Him. Now, the question is, who has seen God? According to the Scripture, it says no one has ever seen God, but the one and only Son, who is Himself God and is in close relationship with the Father, He has made Him known. And so we believe in a God we cannot see. But one of the ways that we know that God is God and God exists is because He has been revealed through His Son, Jesus. Have you ever seen Jesus? What about the Holy Spirit? We believe in the Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Have you seen God? Probably the answer is no. I hope it is. Have you seen Jesus? Have you seen the Holy Spirit? Yet, do you believe in them? Do you believe they exist? If you're a Christian, no doubt you do. By faith, we believe. First, because the Bible teaches us that. We have to have an understanding that the Bible is the Word of God. It is the revelation of God to man. When we believe that much by faith, we find that we enter into a relationship with God. That's the first step of faith. It takes faith to put our trust in the one who is unseen. We may do so on the testimony of others. We may do so on what the Word of God teaches us. But the first step for any one of us is faith. It has to be. God desires to have a relationship with us. The problem is that we live for ourselves. And mankind is separated from God because of sin. And that involves everybody. Everybody. You know, the person who tries to do their very best, even their very best, cannot measure up to the holiness of God. And so we all fall short. Because of that, it is impossible to know God without faith in His only Son. And Scripture tells us that God sent His Son to a cross, and on that cross, Jesus bore a punishment that you and I deserve to pay. And because of that, if we believe that when Jesus died on that cross, if we believe that He took our punishment, paid the debt for our sin, that's by faith. And when we do that by faith, when we trust Him by faith, then all of a sudden, there is a reality that comes into our lives. an unseen God becomes a heavenly Father. Isn't that true? He was a God who was somewhere out there, but through His Son, He becomes a loving heavenly Father. Jesus, who we've never seen, yet trust in His sacrifice for our sins, becomes a Savior, becomes a trusted friend. And then the Holy Spirit that comes to live inside of us, He is our guide. He is the one that leads us and gives us understanding and gives us wisdom. The Holy Spirit has such a ministry to us. He convicts us of sin. He guides us and directs us and gives us wisdom and understanding and discernment. He fills us and enables us to live as God desires for us to live in the Spirit. By faith, we place our confidence in the one who is unseen. And the one we've never seen, we know with absolute assurance that He is. Right? Second, faith is trust in what is unproven. Oh, I told you about God's not dead. And there's a young man who pretty much was able to prove the existence of God. But the Scripture here tells us in verse 3, by faith we understand that the universe was formed at God's command, so what is seen is not made out of what was visible. If we believe in creation and God being the creator, we believe that by faith. Did we see Him put it all together? None of us are that old, right? My kids think I'm older than dirt, but I'm really not, you know? The Bible teaches us that God spoke, and all that was created by His command. That's what the Scriptures tell us. Can we prove that? Now, for many of us, this stands as enough proof, right? The Scripture says it, and we trust by faith in the integrity of the Scriptures. The Bible reveals that God is the Creator. In fact, the Bible tells us that God created, it was void, there was nothing, and God spoke. Here, in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 3, it says that what is seen was not made out of what was visible. God created all that was created out of nothing. That is very important for us to understand. We believe that by faith. We can't prove it. We believe it because the Bible teaches us. We believe that because creation itself points to an intelligent designer. If we're able to look at various aspects of God's creative work, and we sit and we figure out, how did that just happen? I mean, the chances of all of that. One thing is interconnected to another thing. It's just like almost too difficult for us to understand or comprehend. And yet it is. Science supports that part. But by faith, we believe that God is the Creator. It says in Romans 1, for since the creation of the world, God's invisible qualities, His eternal power and divine nature have been clearly seen, being understood from what has been made. It says people are without excuse. Because even if no one goes to tell somebody that God exists, creation is enough to reveal the reality of a Creator God, of a divine being. God is the creator of the universe, and we recognize His creation or His handiwork, and it, the heavens, it says, declare the glory of God. We understand that by faith. Not that we can prove it. You know, there's all those other theories out there about how this all came into being. I don't have any more proof either, okay? To be honest. Theories. Unprovable theories. The Scripture tells us. The Scripture tells us that God is the creator of all things. And by faith, we believe that. The Scripture tells us that we are created in the image of God. And by faith, we believe that. We believe in the unproven. Faith allows us to do that. I came across a story of a doctor, an engineer, and a politician. And they were arguing which profession was older. Well, the doctor said, without a physician, mankind could not have survived. So he was sure that a physician was the oldest profession. The engineer said, no, that's not true. Because before life began, there was complete chaos. And it took an engineer to create some semblance of order in all that chaos. So engineering is the oldest profession. And then the politician interrupted, saying, who do you think created the chaos? I knew that would take a while. The point is this. We can't prove that God is the creator of all things. But by faith, we believe it. Because the Bible says it. Because creation reveals that. And my friends, that's important. That's paramount to what we believe. Because if we begin to discount the realities and the truths of one portion of Scripture, the integrity of the rest stands in question. Think about that. Response number three. Faith is confidence in the unexplainable. In the remaining verses that I've read to you, the author of Hebrews describes a number of people who possessed an unwavering confidence in God. He mentions Abel, Enoch, Noah, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Joseph, Moses, Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jephthah, David, and so on, Samuel, prophets, like early believers, mentions all of these people. And in verse 39, it says they were all commended for their faith. Yet, not one of them had really seen what was promised. They looked forward. They trusted in a coming Messiah, a coming kingdom. They couldn't imagine how that would all come together. We have the opportunity to know that Messiah personally as we live on the other side of that cross. Yet they possessed a trust. They possessed an unwavering confidence as they faced all the challenges and obstacles of life. And the things that I've read, it was by faith that there was a proper sacrifice. They were enabled to walk with God. It took a lot of faith to build an ark when nobody ever even knew what a raindrop was, right? It took a lot of faith. Took a lot of faith when God said, Abraham, go, and I'll show you later where you're going. If God was telling us to move somewhere, we would want to be able to see it on Google Earth. We want to know, right? These are individuals who by faith trusted God. They did as they just trusted God in an unwavering way. Whether it was doing what God had directed them to do, standing in a lion's den, being held captive in a fiery furnace, whatever it is that they did by faith and they trusted in God. Sometimes people will say, oh, you people with faith, It's such a figment of your imagination. Faith is for weak people who need some kind of a comfort factor to get through the ups and downs of life. Anybody ever tell you that? Yeah. I don't have time for personal stories, but I've been told that many times. But let me tell you this. Faith is not for weaklings. The people that I describe who were people of faith were people of great strength and confidence in their God. Because faith perseveres. Faith refuses to stop believing. Faith endures. Faith continues. Faith perseveres. So what is faith? Faith is a certain assurance, a concrete conviction, an unshakable confidence, and a persistent trust in God and all that God reveals to us. That is faith. That is the answer to the question. Faith is belief in the things that we cannot see, in the individuals we cannot see. Faith is believing that God exists, that Jesus is His Son and our Savior. Faith is believing that God's Holy Spirit dwells inside of those who have trusted His Son. And that Holy Spirit equips us and leads us and guides us and assures us of who He is. Faith is hope in what is unproven. I didn't see creation. You didn't see creation. But the Bible tells us that God is the Creator. The Scripture tells us in John that all things were created. When it speaks of Christ, all things were created by Him and through Him. Faith is confidence in the unexplainable. It's not a gut feeling. Sometimes people say, well, you know, my gut tells me that. You know, it's not that. It's an unwavering confidence in who God is and what God has done for us. That is faith. So let me ask you, based upon our study, how would you answer the question, what is faith? If you went out of here today and somebody said, hey, explain to me, what is faith? How do you explain it? Faith is belief in what I cannot see. Faith is hope in what I cannot prove. And faith is confidence in what I cannot explain. But I'm positive, and I'm sure of it. I'm absolutely certain, right? That's faith. That is faith. How do you describe your own faith? First step. Have you placed your faith in God's Son? Do you believe that when Jesus died on that cross, He was there in your place? He went there as your substitute. He paid the penalty of death and separation from God that every one of us needed to pay ourselves and could not. That's what He did. That's the first step. Because if we trust God's Son Jesus as our Savior, and God's Holy Spirit then comes and lives inside of us, we gain spiritual wisdom and understanding to accept all the rest. Right? Before that, it's only words on the page. I had people say to me, you know, before I knew Christ, you know, I had a lady, she's in her 80s. She said to me one day, I went to church all my life and I couldn't understand anything. One day in the service, when you ask people to accept Christ as Savior, I asked Jesus to be my Savior. Now she said, I don't understand how this all works. But when I read my Bible now, it's just like God is speaking directly to me. Okay? That's the difference, my friends. First step is faith in God's Son. The rest comes after that, when God's Spirit illuminates and reveals all of the rest. How important that is. Do you know Jesus as your Savior? Do you believe that He died for your sin? Father, thank You for Your Word. Thank You for what You teach us today. Lord, maybe we even came in here wondering, well, what is faith? How do I explain it? Lord, the Scripture reveals to us what faith truly is. And for us to completely be confident in that faith, we know we must have faith in Your Son. If you've never trusted Christ as your Savior, I would like you to have that opportunity today. And the way that we do that is by talking to God in prayer. Nothing special about the words we say. It's what happens in the heart as we talk. But you can tell God that you believe that when His Son died on that cross, He really died and paid the penalty for your sin. And trust Him today as Savior. You might say something like, Lord, I know that I fall short of all of the things that You tell us in the Bible. I know that I have violated Your laws and commands. And I do believe that when Jesus died on that cross, He died there for me. And right here and now, I place my faith in Him as my Savior. And I invite You not only to forgive me and to give me that promise of eternal life, but I invite You, Lord, to send Your Holy Spirit to come and live inside of me, that I might even understand faith in a deeper way. Give every one of us that unwavering confidence, Lord, that assurance of what faith is, as we trust in You, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.